This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 28th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, an in-depth report on a collection of portraits of soldiers who have fallen in Iraq and Afghanistan. We'll have that coming up, as well as a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. House Speaker Michael Madigan has come up with a new twist in the debate over Illinois electric rates. He wants state government to get into the electricity business. The Chicago Democrat has introduced a bill to create an Illinois power authority that could buy, generate, or sell electricity. Madigan spokesman Steve Brown says a not-for-profit electric company would be able to deliver power at lower prices. But Brown also acknowledges the threat of state competition might shake things up at the bargaining table. Illinois lawmakers are looking for ways to help consumers deal with huge increases in power rates. Madigan wants to reverse the increases, while other officials are negotiating with Ameren and ComEd for rebates. A leading proponent of an income tax hike in Illinois to help schools says the plan still has life, even though the governor and Illinois Senate president are pushing an alternative. Democratic Senator James Meeks says the so-called tax swap, where income taxes would go up and be partially offset by property tax relief, could be considered if the governor's proposal for a gross receipts tax falters.
I mean, we're still there. If there's not enough support for gross receipts, the body will have to try to figure out some kind of revenue stream. So he's always indicated that gross receipts came first with him. I can understand that. But if gross receipts doesn't go anywhere, and again, I have not met many people who say that they are in favor of it, maybe four people here that I've talked to, but other than that, I haven't met anybody.
Meek says he's begun meeting with Republicans to build support for the tax swap. Senate President Emil Jones sent out a memo this week saying he would only call the governor's plan for a vote this session. Meeks, though, says he expects Jones could eventually change his mind. A University of Illinois professor who helped develop one of the most important medical tools ever has died. Paul Lauterbur was honored with the 2003 Nobel Prize for work he and British researcher Sir Peter Mansfield did on magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI. Lauterbur died yesterday at his Urbana home at the age of 77. The U of I says Lauterbur suffered from kidney disease. In a press conference the day of the Nobel announcement, Lauterbur traced his groundbreaking research back to work on dead tissue in the 1970s.
It was some observations of studies of nuclear magnetic resonance in tissues that had been cut out of dead rats, along with some speculation that similar observations might be useful in human medicine that made me think, oh no, that's not what we want to do to people. There must be a better way.
Lauterbur's research took place at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. In 1985, he moved to the U of I, where he was a chemistry professor in the School of Medicine. Chancellor Richard Herman saluted Lauterbur's commitment to mankind. A U of I graduate who went on to help start one of the latest internet phenomena will give this year's U of I commencement address. Joed Karim is a 2004 graduate, but he interrupted his schooling in 2000 and in the interim helped work on the online commerce site PayPal. Karim later helped found YouTube, the popular video sharing site. Karim will speak at two commencement ceremonies May 13th. Although some members had misgivings, the Champaign City Council voted last night to support a downtown apartment building where the so-called creative class could live and work. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The proposal from Wisconsin-based Gorman & Company would replace a city parking lot with a new apartment building. Some units would be priced for low-income tenants, but all would be aimed at artists and others who want to live as well as work downtown. But Gorman wants the city to give it the land, thus giving up 100 parking spaces currently leased to downtown employees of the News Gazette, Volition, and other businesses. The city would have to find the replacement parking, and the new building's projected tax revenue might not cover all the cost. Councilman Tom Bruno says the trade-off would be worth it to bring more housing to downtown.
Some of those 90 people who've been parking in those spots may end up living in those apartments.
But Mayor Jerry Schweihart wasn't convinced.
Well, that's 90 more spaces we're probably going to need because most people drive.
The vote was 7-2 to formally endorse the project so Gorman & Company can meet a Monday deadline to apply for state tax credit financing. Champaign City officials say the City Council will have other chances to fine-tune or even reject the project before construction starts. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A master plan to upgrade the Copper Slough watershed in Champaign received city council endorsement. Stormwater from Champaign's west side drains into Copper Slough, which carries it out to the Kaskaskia River. But the city's drainage needs have grown with increased development. The new plan calls for spending nearly $26 million over several years to widen, deepen, and stabilize parts of the waterway and fortify it with stormwater detention ponds. It also calls to upgrade storm sewers that serve the Hedge Road and Washington Road Glen Park areas. Champaign civil engineer Alex Nodge says those areas suffer from frequent flooding because the sewers were built with rural areas in mind.
They're really farm drainage tiles is what they were. Those were installed. A development came in that tied into those drainage tiles, and there's too much water coming off that site. The pipe just can't handle that amount of water because it was designed for farm drainage and not residential type of development.
Nodge says it could take a decade for the city to find the money to do the work. It also needs to find the authority because the Copper Slough is currently overseen by a rural drainage district. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. How do we remember fallen soldiers from Illinois? Reporters tell their stories when they die in Iraq and Afghanistan, but for people outside their immediate families, the impact soon fades. Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker visited a memorial that puts faces to the stories of the dead.
Twenty-month-old Gage Gaber of Delavan in Tazewell County won't remember his daddy when he grows up. Specialist Ronnie Gaber died more than 10 months ago in Baghdad when a bomb wrecked his Humvee. But nestled in his mother Bethany's arms in the main hallway of Illinois State University's Bone Student Center, Gage is surrounded by pictures of soldiers, his dad among them, all from Illinois, all dead in the war of the last 4 years. The crisp, pencil-drawn portraits are the work of 23-year-old Cameron Schilling of Mattoon, who began the project out of respect for the family of a hometown soldier. Now it's a goal to do it for every Illinois Gold Star family. Bethany Gaber says that's exceptional.
Everybody's so critical of the war right now, and he's not afraid to come forward and show how he supports it and try to do something for the families.
There are 150 drawings, all copies of art given to those families, and the Illinois death toll is not complete. The men and women staring out at the concourse are in different poses, some stern and formal and uniformed, others more relaxed. Judy Curtis smiles slightly at a portrait of a camo-clad young soldier looking relaxed with a field cap pushed far back on his forehead, also smiling faintly. Curtis works in the university registrar's office. One of her jobs there is certifying college enrollment of veterans for government benefits. Curtis says when she hears of casualties one or two at a time, it's shocking how many there are altogether.
We get a little thick-skinned, for lack of a better word, on the information we receive. It's so easy to distance yourself from it if you don't have someone directly involved. And so to see it this close and in this perspective, it's really eye-opening for me.
A scruffily dressed ISU geology major points out a face. Former soldier Brian Hansen says he talked with his fellow specialist Brandon Ramsey the August morning back in 2003 that Ramsey died in Iraq when his Humvee rolled over during a chase. Hansen says even though he served, even though he knows soldiers who died, looking at the portraits still surprises. Though still youthful himself, Hansen gets a jolt because people in the pictures are so young.
I don't know how to say it. I mean, I believe Brandon was only 21, maybe 22 at the time. So, I mean, they hadn't even had a chance to live. And when we got called up, we didn't even know what our mission was at first. And we didn't even know why. They didn't even explain to us why we were going over there at the time. So I just hope that it wasn't in vain. And I guess only time will tell.
The faces of the memorial tell stories. Sometimes only the stories the viewer brings to the picture, but stories. Lieutenant Colonel Gene Snayman says he finds that evocation has an impact greater than the Vietnam War memorial. Snayman sees the same things he has seen in the eyes of his own soldiers.
They also have these ripples that move out from each one of them of meaning. you know, that's the aspect of it that's so powerful, is that you can look at any one of those and you can say, well, that looks like my next door neighbor, or that looks like my brother, or that looks like my sister. And, you know, it's just there's always a connection, just the human connection.
Snayman teaches military science in the ROTC program at ISU, trying to turn students into leaders. He says he hopes his pupils contemplate mortality and learn as they look at the faces of people like those they will soon try to command. Public officials gathered to dedicate the Portrait of a Soldier memorial display. Quote Lincoln's Gettysburg Address about the last full measure of devotion. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn sums up the wall with the third verse of America. O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife.
Who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life.
ISU trustee J.D. Bergman says regardless of politics and policy about the war, people can approach the memorial in a unified way.
We must honor those that have given their lives for us. Honor those that have given their limbs for us. Honor those that have given some of their years in the service of the country to protect us.
But for all the sacrifice made by these soldiers remembered in this art so caringly done, Lieutenant Colonel Snayman acknowledges the families left behind perhaps have made a more bitter sacrifice than even the soldiers. Widow Bethany Gaber attaches her own meaning to the faces of the 150.
I see 100 other families that are hurting like me, and I don't know.
Displaying the memorial for a time in a student union, a place where people come and congregate, socialize, and eat, Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says is meaningful, so that when little Gage Gaber of Delavan grows up, other people may remember something he cannot.
Color Guard! Post!
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
The Portrait of a Soldier Memorial will be on display at Illinois State University's Bone Student Center through April 4th. We have a cloudy forecast today, according to our meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are also in the forecast. The highs today across the two states ranging from 48 near Lake Michigan to 76 in the far south. For tonight, in the northeastern part of Indiana, clouds with showers early, then becoming partly cloudy. Elsewhere across the two states, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. The lows from 37 in northeast Indiana to 57 in southwest Illinois. For tomorrow, in the northwest and west central parts of Illinois, still cloudy with scattered showers in the morning. In the south, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, but elsewhere, including around Champaign-Urbana, partly sunny, and highs ranging from around 50 near Lake Michigan to 77 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.